Well, it's certainly a privilege to be here again this morning, and I'm going to ramble a little bit before I take the number three in the series on priorities. And you know, it's good to have preachers sit in the congregation when you're preaching, especially they're so astute that they catch you. And I just am not going to be caught. Now, Brother Bill Smith, who is gone, but Brother Bob can take the word to him, they both said that I said the second book of Ephesians. Well, that's true. Here's the first book of Ephesians. There's a second book with Ephesians. I boo-booed. But I don't know what I had in mind, actually. I guess my mind was going down the road too fast. And they also said I'd got the parables in the 13th chapter of Luke. Maybe that's one of those mountains that Brother Stone was singing about. I got moved the parables from Matthew to Luke. So that's another boo-boo. I slipped up on that, but that's not the first time, and it's 10-1 won't be the last time. However, Brother Dirksen brought something to my attention, which was a sort of a boo-boo, and yet not. It could be misunderstood. I made a statement that I don't want to be loved, but I said everybody wants to be loved. Now, I'm going to give you this from the Word of God so you'll understand what I said. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved or not loved at all. Now, I'm going to illustrate this, and I have no business making personal mention, but we're one big family here, so this is about as close to millennium as I expect to get and get away with it. So we're going to talk about a couple of people here, namely your pastor and Brother Gunther and Brother Herbikoff. Well, now, the neighbor, I understand that their brother used to, sort of bug the neighbor about the Lord. And I can just sort of visualize his good neighbor saying, "Look, Gunther, if you just lay off, I could love you. Why don't you shut up about this salvation? That would be good friends." And Brother Gunther says, "Look, I don't care if you love me or not. That's not the point. I'll wait down the road for that. See? But I want you for Christ." So you understand how the preaching can be misunderstood. Sure, I want people to love me. You think I'm nuts? My wife said, "Get out of here. I hate you." Well, she could, and I would like to get out. But sure, I want love. But I don't want your love when it comes to this word and serving Jesus Christ, my brother, my sister. That's not it. You say, "Bale's a nice fellow. We like him, and the kids like him because he tells these hogwash jokes and all those sort of things." That's not it. What it is, I don't care 2 cents about me. I've been down the road, and I'll go down the road. But what about you? I'm not here that you love me and say, "Well, Bale's a nice kind of preacher," which I sure am not. But I preach a very nice word, because it's God's word. So you see what I'm saying? Sure, I love your affection. Why do you think I come? Why do you think I stick around? Why do you think I'm trying to get Bob to stay an extra day and meet all the fellas we have breakfast with and dinner with, and we have a ball, maybe 20 that are cracked? Why? Is it just because, "Oh, well, we're going to have a good breakfast"? No. We have good fellowship. And even the bacon was too salty and the eggs overdone. That's very fooey. You get that in. I can even get that at home. And my wife's very good cook. But you're not going to get that rapport and fellowship outside you know. Sure, so we love each other. So I want you to know that my expressions, though sometimes may be a little difficult, and heaven knows they would certainly have to be in this human world here, I want you to get the right picture. Now, also, I want to just say a couple things with particular in mind to the lovely bunch of young folk that came forward, as with the understanding, of course, that being born again is being baptized with the Holy Ghost. And that, as Brother Branham said, is a definitive experience, though it is without sensation, emotion, and these outward evidences and signs. Now, the most important thing that I would tell you this morning is you've got to have some place to place your faith. Now, I'm going to talk to you honestly because I am honest. I am not here to deceive you or to say one thing that would harm you in this step that you are taking to either have received the Holy Spirit by now or to receive the Holy Spirit very, very shortly. Now, the Bible says that he that repents and is baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's only two things that you need to do, that you're obligated to do, is to repent. And that is to have a right mind toward Jesus Christ and his word. The second thing is be baptized in water. Then God is obligated to do the third, because he alone can do the third. Now, Paul said, receive ye the Spirit by the works of, by the hearing of faith or the works of the law. Now, we know that we receive the Holy Spirit on the grounds of faith. And there has to be some place you can place your faith. Now, I'm going to read you a little bit of scripture to help you to understand the simplicity of receiving the baptism with the Holy Ghost or receiving the Spirit of God into your life. And if I can just get it over here, in the book of Luke, Jesus said, now listen carefully, if a son or a daughter asks bread of you that is a father, in other words, if any child goes to any parent and asks bread, a piece of bread, something to eat, will he give him a stone? Now, I want to ask every one of you that stood here that night, when you asked food from your parents and said, can I have a slice of bread? Did your parent hand you a stone? Now, answer in your mind now, and I can answer for you, no. It says if he asked a fish, would he give him a serpent? If you asked for a piece of fish, more food, did either or both parents hand you that which would destroy you? A serpent to harm you? Say no. Now, I'm sure that as being kids, you all ask for eggs because Canada hasn't changed that much where we haven't had hard-boiled eggs on hand, you know, to eat. And it's pretty good to come home for a slice of bread and a hard-boiled egg. And I think a slice of good homemade white bread or brown bread, buttered up, and a nice hard-boiled cold egg with salt and pepper, tastes mighty good. Fills the spot until supper time. Now, there's not one of you can say that you asked your parents for an egg, and the parent gave you a scorpion. Now, you see, it just wouldn't work. There simply isn't anybody that is that mentally deranged, at least here in Canada, that horribly constituted to have a family and then do everything abusive. Now listen, if you then being evil, now none good but God, know how to give good things or gifts. Now let's talk about you kids. There's no doubt that there was a time in your life when you liked Valentine's Day. We all did. And of course the boys would give the girls the prettiest Valentine, especially if they thought they could make a little impression and let the girl know that that was a pretty sweet girl. And maybe you had a little better luck than I did at my age. You had parents to give you some money, so you might have bought that girl a nice little box of candy with a heart on it. You know, your own heart going boing, boing, boing. And you did the best you could to give the very best gift. In other words, I'm telling you, you know how, and you do give good gifts. Come Christmas time, Mama gets a nice gift. Come Christmas time, Papa gets a nice gift. Come Christmas time, little children get nice gifts. Not just swapping, but because you like to do it, you like to do nice things, you do nice things, right? Now, is there anybody here dares to raise his hand and say, Brother Vale, I am different. I will not do a nice thing. I hate doing nice things. I have never done, nor will I ever do. Not one. You like to do nice things. I like to do nice things. And the reason many times we don't is because we don't have the nice thing to give. But we do think nice thoughts and we can say nice things. What I'm trying to show you here is There is not one person here who is not nice enough to do something nice. And yet God says, and you know of yourself, you ain't too hot. Now watch. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? If you have been capable of doing one nice thing in your life, you are now guaranteed that God will give you the Holy Ghost. Because you don't even know what a nice thing is, and yet you'll do it, and God will fill you. Now, you hang on to that. You hang on to that. You hang on to that. And you keep that in mind. No matter what happens to you, and one day, you will suddenly know that that Holy Spirit has come in. Because God's Word can't lie. If in my state I am capable of doing one good thing, I am guaranteed that God, who does nothing but good things, gives me the Holy Spirit. You follow me?
Amen.
Now that's so simple, there's hardly a 5-year-old can't get that. And that is so true that if there's any adult sitting here, let me tell you now, put that in your heart and keep it like a seed. And though the seed falls in the ground in the wintertime and the winds begin to blow, and the snows begin to come, that seed lies there waiting for the right moment. And that seed is alive. That word in there has that truth in it. And one day at the right time, it'll be there. So I just thought I'd tell you, to encourage you, because we don't go for emotionalism and all, though we are emotional, but we go for the truth. Brother Branham said, that experience was real. Not a sensation, but reality. I'm sure that there's not one of you here remembers when you were born, but you sure am real. If you don't believe it, pinch yourself now, so you'll get ready to pinch yourself in case you fall asleep when I preach a long sermon, which I hope we won't preach too long. So much for the preamble. We're going to talk now about priority number 3, and I suppose the title has now become a misnomer with this message, but so what? Priority simply means what God says, this is what you do, period, whether you like it or not. So, we're going to bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, once more we look to you in the atmosphere of this tremendous, beautiful meeting where the spirits of men are coming into line according to what the prophet said. When that sweet spirit is in the whole building, the devil under control because of it, he can't hit here or there, then things are going to happen amongst the people. Lord, I know this sermon is going to be way off what people would think would be a healing service. But I know your word said while you taught them they were healed, so teaching can bring healing. There can be people waiting for healing this morning, get healed right here. There can be people wanting certain answers, a mountain move can have it. We are not going to doubt about anything. Just talk about the word of God and leave it there. And then, Lord, you bring forth what you want out of it. So now guide our lips, Lord, and our mouths and our ears, our understanding. We'll be careful to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the former two messages that I set before you, my thoughts on what God's first priority is for us is on this wise, that it is to see Hebrews 13 and 8 clearly. And Hebrews 13 and 8 is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to see Hebrews 13 and 8 clearly is to see that God's attitude toward His Word never changes. Now, we have somehow the idea that we have an unchanging God, and that's about where it ends when it comes to the personality or the spiritual substance of God Himself. But that's not so. There is nothing about God that changes. His attitude, His word, and so on. So what we began to see in the first two messages was that God's word doesn't change. It is inviolate and cannot be violated, the same as He. So we're going to go way back to Exodus, the 20th chapter, and we'll just take some more verses other than we've already used. And the Lord God spake, and God spake these words, saying, I am thy, the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God identifies himself. Now they know that God brought them out. So what he's going to talk about now is himself. And he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now that doesn't just mean that you're not going to worship any other god. It means that you're not going to listen to anybody else. It means you're not going to obey anybody else. It means you're under the control of nobody else. It means that you're stuck. Now, I got to use words like this because we have made Christianity a democracy. Hogwash! It is not a democracy. It is a totalitarian theocracy with God saying, put up and shut up. And I'll do mighty tremendous things for you. If you can ever learn my way, you've got it made. And he also said, I'm going to see to it that you learn my way. Now, we've got a tougher dictator than Stalin. Because the same dictator we're under is going to judge Stalin, throw him in the lake of fire. You say, how do you know? Well, you think I'm kidding you? What makes you think he was ever born again? Any more than Pharaoh. He's an instrument that God raised up to bring the Jew back to the homeland. Like Pharaoh. Reprobated. See, you got a tough dictator. I'm the Lord. I'm the one that brought you out of ecumenism and the world council of churches and denominations and said, come out of her, my people, lest you be partaker of her plagues. Now notice he said, lest you partake of plagues. Okay, go stay in there. You'll find I'm a tough God. Like Brother Brown said, he's no sort of some doty old grandfather. Now thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven or above or that's on earth beneath or in the water. In other words, he said, don't you even try to manufacture anything concerning me. Don't try it. Don't think it. Don't fancy it. You say, hey, sounds like I'm trapped. You're right. If anybody's going to change, it won't be God. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. What am I supposed to do? Bow down to me. Knuckle. Knuckle. Serve me. I'm jealous. You say, woo-wee, what a God. You bet your life, what a God. Who'd you think you're fooling with? Now, you pardon my language, but this is how it becomes plain. It doesn't become plain in highfalutin theological, high-sounding words. Forget it. It just brings her right down here. I'm jealous. And let me tell you flat. You get out of line, I'll visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children. Because the fathers got out of line, therefore the kids get out of line, and so therefore there's a complete lineage of destruction and punishment and retribution. Because you begin getting away from me. Aha! When they first begin getting away from God, the revealed word, watch what's set in until finally the whole thing's going to go to the lake of fire. And I'm not talking about a bride going there or the church going there. I'm talking about the whole thing that really got away from God. Now notice he says, unto the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Which I don't hate God. Well, God said you did. Jesus said, if I had not done the works which no other man did, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. William Branham came on the scene and absolutely they saw God. Because they saw the works and they hated. Well, you know, we didn't. Then God's a liar, fine. You're wonderful. The truth is in you. And why are you sick? Why are you dying? Huh? Now, you know I love you. I'm talking this way out of just getting something across. But look, we got to face it. You just can't bandy words, brother, sister. You got to take them the way they are. He said, hate me. Remember the other day I spoke on that out of Matthew 6, to love the one and hate the other. Is it the same God then? Huh? Is Hebrews 13 and 8 then the same? Can you change Exodus 20 from Matthew 6? No. But Brother Bill, I don't hate. You don't know your heart, honey child. Right? Huh? Sorry about that. I'm going to keep telling you folks, lest you get mad at me. I didn't write the book, but I'm going to preach it. And if I point one finger, I got three pointing back. And as I talk here, I'm plenty red in the face inside. I don't blush easy being, quite a brunette. And I don't have too much shame, I guess, either. But inside, I'm blushing desperately. I told you when I started this series, there are three kinds of preachers. There's the guy that really lives it. There's the guy that's a hypocrite. And there's a guy that tries, like me, that flounders. And he cuts his throat worse than he cuts the congregation's throat when he preaches, because, boy, listen, he gets a double barrel. He, first of all, he's got to get it from God, then pass it on to you, and then it bounces back, and the heart goes, that's me. So feel sorry for me. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Notice that say he's not only God, but he's God the Word. See? Notice this message that we preach when you understand what Brother Branham taught. It lines up in his one perfection. See? So, we see in these first seven verses a sovereign only God with sovereign decree. So we learn. We are commanded to recognize God in all things whatsoever come into our lives. That God is in authority. See? To recognize and consider always His abiding presence, and that nothing can happen outside of His will. Now remember, He said, I'm the same God that led you out of Egypt. And brother, they were having problems. See? And they'd wonder. But he said, I'm the same God. Now remember, the Bible said that Moses learned his ways, but Israel only saw his acts. There's a big difference. I can look around and see everything God does and never learn one thing about him. And if you think Moses didn't learn, he learned, and one lesson he learned too late. God said, don't you strike that rock the second time. He said, wham, bam. I said, I'll strike you, bam, bam, to you. Don't fool with God. See, that's our whole trouble. We have never been taught, see, the absolute perfections of God with His Word, where nobody can talk back to God. It's a dictatorship. That's why people can't understand sovereign election. They got to have it their way. Like a woman said to me one time, well, Brother Bill, if I believed that, I couldn't believe God. Well, don't bother believing God. See? And let's get this straight. This is Laodicea, which means anarchy. Freedom for the people. We're in the worst age of all. We'll talk about it later. Now, to understand the supreme authority of Almighty God in every single thing brings us back again to Romans the 8th chapter. And I'll tell you, the more you get in Romans, the more you're going to be astounded at the fabulous scriptures that lie in that book. Listen, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, what did he say back there? Of those that love me, as in contradistinction to those that hate me. And those that love him recognize the supreme authority of God. Now, just before we hit this, let me see if I can find the scripture, Brother Sifton. You know my memory's so horrible, and I got Bob down here, good old Bob. If I can't find it, Brother Bob, you're going to find it for me, hopefully. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto sanctification, salvation, your sanctification spirit, unto belief of the truth. We are bound to give thanks to God always for the doctrine of predestination. Now, people don't like that. They don't want to believe that God is in the driver's seat, and of the one lump he does this, and of the same lump he does that. See? They don't want to believe that. They refuse to see that as love. Now, the Scripture lets us know that the person who loved God admits to his supreme authority that whatever he says goes, whether we really can endure it or like it or not, we'll still say God is God. His word remains forever. And as Brother Branham said, let every man's word be a lie, but let his be true.
Amen.
Now that's the place where love starts. Where you can take sovereignty and say God's in the driver's seat. Like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, his wife came to him and said, now listen, Job, why don't you curse God and die? I got news to you. That word in the Hebrew can either be curse or worship, depending on a context and certain little things with it. And she might have been thinking like in the days of Jacob when he just pulled his feet up and worshiped God and died. And she'd say, now listen, Job, why don't you just tell you something? Why don't you just see that you don't have to fight against living anymore? Just pull your feet up and bend and die. Well, he said, you talk like a foolish woman. I happen to know the ways of God. I ain't going to die. I said, I believe God. I've been doing those sacrifices, even for my own kids, in case they messed up somewhere. I've got a totality. Are you going to sit there and tell me that your lives are so planned that you do give cups of cold water in His name, knowing there's a reward? Have you been doing it? Well, have you been? Now, come on, we're not playing church. I'm up here as an old school man. I want to set us free. If you sit there and lie to God and lie to me, you'll never be set free. I like what Bob said last night. Come and preach your sermon again, Bob. I'll give over to you. Now, I know I'm rough and mean up here, but I'm going to tell you something. I raised my hand. Brother Branham raised his hand. Are you sitting there telling me that you give cups of cold water in his name? You're looking embarrassed now. Maybe you'll repent. Maybe I'll repent. I have not done it. You say, Brother Bill, that's not important. Come on, the Bible. Brother Branham said, the little things. Oh, mighty general. If Elijah had said, pull down the mountain, break up the river, clean your giant stables like an atlas. Oh, you'd have been Johnny on the spot. But give a glass of water. Unasked your question. How many of you have ever deliberately gone uptown and said nice things and done a nice thing just because it should be done? I can see I've done it. Now you get a couple hands. That's nice. Where's the rest? Why aren't the rest of you doing it? Well, you say, Brother Bale, I'm like you. I did it once 20 years ago. Yeah, now you saw it just right through my heart. I didn't do it yesterday. I didn't do it even a year ago, honey. I'll tell you something. I'm not much of an Ann Landers fan or Abigail or anything else, but I read their crud. It's interesting. Sometimes it's good. A lady wrote and she said, Ann, I have just got to tell you what happened. I went to a restaurant last week and a waitress came to serve me. And this woman's a widow and getting up in years. And the waitress said, oh, madam, you look so lovely. She said, Ann, it made my day and I've learned one lesson. From now on, every day, I will seek somebody and tell them something nice. When have you last made somebody's day? Jesus keeps telling us we're nice. You're in my image. You're my children. I love you. You're beautiful. You're gorgeous. And we say, well, of course we are. If you've had a kindness shown, pass it on. It was not meant for you alone. Pass it on. Let it travel through the years. Let it wipe another's tears. Until at last in heaven the deed appears. Pass it on. Huh? When you wake up in the morning, determine to do something nice. Just a cup of cold water. Just a visit to the hospital. Just some little letter. I'm going to tell you something. There's a certain woman who has, in my books, just about as little redeeming feature as any woman could have, because she's a big mouth. And she runs her husband. Just say one thing, shame on her. I'm not going to tell you who she is. Okay, sir. She keeps a record of everybody's birthday, as far as I know, and anniversaries, and she's there to make them happy with the cards and remembrances. It may be that her big mouth will go unnoticed before God because she's doing something that's going to balance it out. Well, I know you don't believe that, in a way, but Brother Branham said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. See? Yes, sir. We must understand these things. And I know we can. Now, not only must we be careful not to disobey God's laws, which we would perhaps like to disobey at times, but we must be careful to so know the way and the will of God that we literally feel like criminals in not doing it. Now, this morning I've made you feel a little bit like criminals because you haven't been given glasses of cold water. And I hope it stays with me more than with you, because look, I'm going to stand on my 2 feet in judgment. And if I'm preaching to you here and you beat me in doing it, I'm going to look awful sick, at least for a while. See? Now, okay, we're going to go on now. And we're going to break down what we're talking about into specifics of these priorities or God's ways in life, what He expects of us. Not what we expect or want to do, but what He expects and wants us to do as we walk this pilgrim path. And in these further studies, it'll be a matter as to who and what have priorities over us in our daily lives. What does God say about our ways of facing life? Now, it's going to be a clash with the natural man. It's inevitable that it's against our nature and our ways, and of the world is certain, because it says over here in Matthew 6. Now, you see, it sounds like I'm changing my subject, but I've took a lot of time on backgrounding. Now, I'm going to talk about you and me going past the glass of water, but understanding that if God has said something, we are obligated not to just sniff at and walk by. Now, we're going to touch some real little goodies in here in a few minutes. And it's going to really be rough on old Lee Vale, and his heart's not as good as it used to be. So you better pray that he won't fall over dead when he preaches it. All right. Matthew 6:32-34. For these things the Gentiles seek after. Your heavenly Father knoweth the things you've got need of, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Now it says right here that God demands the priority of His word over our own existence, so that we don't have our own existence, but we have an existence which is literally His existence. Because if I take you by the nose or the back of the neck and I tell you, you do it or else, you say, yes, sir, yes, yes, sir. You're not doing you, you're doing me. Now that's what God wants. And it's the word of God that will transform a man. That's why Brother Branham said, if you receive the God into your flesh becomes the word of God. Now you see why he said it? Simple as ABC. Oh boy, may we get it like that. Take no thought for tomorrow. Things present, things future. The morning, the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. You have a full-time job, moment by moment. Facing life with the Word of God, bind them as flax seeds before your eyes. Bind them upon your wrists. Put them around your ankles. Put them over your mouth. Seeing through the Word of God, saying the Word of God, working the Word of God, walking the Word of God, until it's all Word of God. And now remember, brother, sister, we are enlivened by the Word of God. We are judged by the Word of God. So therefore, if the enlivenment take place, there couldn't be a judgment. It's just rewards, rewards, rewards. Now, remember, it'll fill us full of light. So we're going to consider one or more priorities, and we'll try to go as fast as we can. Now, listen, how obedient must I be to civic, state, and federal laws, or national dominion laws, And what recourse do I have to use these laws myself? And they say, Brother Bailey, you're off your subject. I am not off my subject. Because God has laid down rules. And he says to you and me, there's priorities concerning civic, federal, or national, provincial, any type of government in this world. Now, what must I do concerning the laws of either Canada or the United States? Now, there's only one Bible for a Yankee and for a Canuck. I'm both. I'm born Canadian, I'm a Yankee. So, I got no problem preaching the Bible. But it's not going to hit me twice either. There's one Bible. That's why I can't stand when somebody says, well, Brother Dave, you don't know the black man. You don't know the Indian. You don't know the Chinaman. Well, wonderful then. If it's a white man's Bible, forgive it. The rest of you boys beat it. Somebody's crazy and I'm not. You mean to tell me color has a thing to do with this? Hogwash. Nationality? Hogwash. Man, how people get messed up. So, Canadian Yankee, who cares? Listen. How obedient must I be to civic, state, national laws? What recourse do I have to those laws myself? Now, I'm a Christian. In other words, I'm a Christian here, my citizenship in heaven, but bless God, I'm a citizen here of Canada, and there's laws here and there's laws there. What do I do about the laws of the land? Well, Brother Ban says the Bible question, the Bible answer. Now, we'll deal with obedience. Matthew 22:21, Brother Branham said, render therefore unto Caesar, quoting Jesus, the things that are Caesar's. In this case, it was specifically concerning the speed limit. Brother Branham said, when you exceed that law, the Holy Spirit leaves the car. He doesn't leave you as an individual. You'd be gone, but he couldn't leave the car. Now, can we exceed the speed limit? The answer is no. You say, Brother Dale, what about you? You shut up about me. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you because I just broke a gidding up here doing 70 miles an hour in about a 62-mile zone. Hardly 70. Well, sometimes more. You going to report me? Won't do any good. They didn't catch me. But God did. God knows. Render to Caesar. Brother Branham was caught. He shouldn't have done it. He paid a price. All Caesar's laws, however, are not speed laws. The blanket coverage of this question goes to the point where Caesar's laws contravene God's laws, where the state says, never mind what God says, obey me. Now you obey to that point, to where the law says, never mind God. You say, hold it. Until that saturation point, you are stuck with the laws of the land. Not only must we be careful not to disobey God's laws, in obeying a state law, but certain state laws allow liberties that God's words prohibit. Now the state comes along and says, now you can do it. God's word says can't. So here is where the criterion is. Here is where the fulcrum is. And you've got to hold that perfectly level so you don't balance here or balance there, one against the other. It's always in a state of balance. Now we're going to read Romans 13:1-7. And now this is going to be tough on poor Brother Dale. So if you don't pray for him, you're worse shape than I am. And that would be pretty pitiful. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves judgment. For rulers are not a terror to do good works but to evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? You don't have to be. Do that which is good. And there won't only be no fear, they'll say, isn't that a fine citizen? You'll get praised. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. You mean Tommy Douglas, former premier, was the minister of God for good? Well, I guess the Lord must have boo-booed there. Too bad. Too bad, too bad. We'll just take exception, shall we? Sorry. It says all power is ordained to God. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Now, not say everything he did was good, but he was put there to uphold the laws of the land, right? That's the oath he took. And those laws were made for good. Now, God will judge him where he went haywire if he did. I don't know. I happen to know that he's pretty socialistic-minded and, you know, religion that way, and I just can't buy that. See, I'm not Nicolaitan, and I'm not Nicolaitan. I'm a child of God. Now, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God. A revenger, like more of an avenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay you tribute also. Dirty tax. For they are God's ministers. Gotta pay them wages. Horse feathers. Attending to duty. You gotta be paid for it. Who needs it now? Huh? Render therefore to all their dues. Pay your dues like a good lodge member, a good citizen. Tribute whom tribute's due, custom to custom, fear to fear, honor to honor. Oh, brother. These seven verses tell us just about everything. Notice, let every soul be subject. Not one believer is exempted. I got a good buddy, used to be a good buddy back in Ohio, and he said, bless God, when I drive a car, I'm not under law, I'm under grace. Perfect example of stupidity. Carnal thinking, carnal indulgence, disobedience. Let every soul, not 99%, 100. See? Not one believer is exempted. No loopholes. No loopholes. Tax loopholes? Yes, they're authorized. If our government is so stupid to let the rich man pay nothing and you and me pay everything, there's a legal way of writing it. That's by the law. The Constitution says vote. Watch who you vote for. If you pay your taxes. No loopholes. Obey all good laws made by any public authority, for all authority is of God. To resist the law is anarchy and is to fight God. Now, I think we should go home and just forget about God. Nobody could give a cup of cold water a while ago. How are we going to be convinced that to fight the law is to fight God? I want to know. Look, I didn't write this book. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I was born thin. I was born nervous. I've always been for the underdog. Now, if I got an enemy and I find he's really in hot water and trouble, I'm ready to go and fight for him too, because I just in my blood. I can't help it. But it better get out of my blood. To fight civic authority is to fight God. Huh? Now, this is tough. But this is the acid test of priority. Whether I am going to put God first or put myself first. Whether I'm going to put my thinking first or put his thinking first. Well, I want my way or I want his way. Resisting authority means to fight God. I'm sorry. I did not write the Bible. And my mind is boggled. Because I've got a pretty smart mind. I'm a very nice thinker and I could do some very fine things. Oh, no, you couldn't. Oh, let's just get down to nitty-gritty. I'm pretty dumb and stupid. Because I fought the law. Listen. They that resist or disobey will be judged by the judge and condemned. So there would be no use praying about it. Just take your medicine. So I'm going to pray about something. Don't bother praying. Just take your medicine or obey it. That's one thing I've really been learning to do a little bit of. Rulers are meant for good, so why fear their laws? Okay? Obey them and be praised, disobey and be condemned. Let's read verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. That is, a man who will obey the oath of office. See? Because original authority is all set up in the state. Now, listen. These men are God's messengers in the world system, the same as a fivefold ministry is God's ministry in the kingdom. Believe it or not, these men would be the Holy Spirit by their law to the world system as the fivefold ministry is the Holy Spirit to the church. Hey, boy, you say, Brother Dale, I got to change my thinking. Yeah, it's a pity we didn't read this chapter before and said, oh, that's fine. Chapter 14, come right on. You can't judge a book by the cover. You better get to know what's in the covers. You better not try to judge what God says and means, but what you and I might just think without finding out what he says and means. When Brother Branham said, render to Caesar, he wasn't kidding. And he said for the preacher to break it down. So, well, Brother Bayer, Brother Branham didn't read the 13th chapter, so what's that got to do with it? Brother Branham never came here to write his own book. He either preached this Bible or he was as false as the devil himself. Because he said the same Holy Ghost that wrote the book is here to interpret, and he claimed to be in touch with him. And he said, render to Caesar. So I go to my Bible as he taught us to do, and I find what it is to render to Caesar, and I find it right here in chapter 13. And I find, much to my horror, strong, solid thoughts to persuade my rethinking of the whole subject. Up to this point, and we haven't got past that point yet, the laws of Canada are meant for good. The men took oath to do the country good. Obey those laws, or you're fighting against God. Same with the Yankees. Come up here and can't say, well, the wide open spaces, we can't speed down here, but boy, we can have fun speeding up here. Dirty bunch of Yankees. Well, I just condemned myself, didn't I? I'll take that back. Shall I? No. No, I was condemned. I knew what I was doing. Just like you do. Verse 5. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not for wrath only, but for conscience sake. He tells you right now, to break a law of the land will make your mind and heart guilty and bother you. Just the same as breaking God's laws. And he's saying, let me tell you something, son. You know the difference. So don't break those laws. A note here is interjected. No man can break these laws without his conscience striking back any more than we can break the Bible laws and not be condemned in our hearts. And if our hearts are condemned us, greater is God than our hearts. And Brother Branham said, is where your faith stops, that's where you stop. The little flies, the little things, he said, are what's bugging it. Oh, if that sweet spirit could be here. Not just, I love you, honey, you love me. Isn't it great? Poof on that. Come in like men, say, I haven't broken a law. I'll stand with the state with the problems. I'll stand with the state. I'll do what they tell me for good. I'll make this a better land. I'll be a citizen worthy of praise. No, you haven't got a bit of trouble. So I'll stand with Jesus, what he says goes. I know it's going to be bearing down on my nature, but so what? Look what I'm laying up in heaven, those treasures. My whole body will soon be full of light. No more worry. I don't have to worry whether Brother Branham's coming back or ain't coming back, whether he's God or whether he's not God, whether it's two souls or four souls or six souls, or whether you have church order or not. Hallelujah, you'll just have it, kid. Why? Because you is it. Huh? I think that's simple.
Brother Branham spoke to seven seals. He started with simplicity. And he preached simplicity, you know, the keynote. And at the end of the seventh seal, he said, oh, when I preached that sermon on simplicity, he said, I didn't know that was even what I was preaching. He said, it is so simple, even simpler than I thought. And I said, oy, 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 oy. And then he said, now look, don't try to figure it. Don't try to puzzle. Just be a real Christian. Lord, say, Brother Dale, you don't understand. You see, I've got all the quotes. Here, quote. The way you use them. Not the way he gave them. Some men are so sick, they don't even understand what you're saying. I stood up in the pulpit one day and a man was sitting in the audience and he knew what he was doing. Don't worry. Puffed up in his pride, but in his eyes, I said, look it. Any Methodist can quote, quote, quote the word. Any Baptist, quote, quote, quote the word and end up in a dog fight. And anybody in this message can quote, quote, quote William Branham. And then quote, quote, quote and end up in a dog fight. And I said, what you've got to know is the doctrine. That's why he came. Boy, the man wrote a dirty, filthy letter because he just wanted to get in my hair and run me down. Let me tell you something about the fellow. He's got a little picture that he calls his vindication. It's a ball of fire at his feet. When was a pillar of fire ever at anybody's feet? Tell me. Sammy, tell me. You know what that'll make that man? It'll make him bigger than God. God's at my feet. Hey, God. Hey, God. Don't get too big for your britches, honey. I may stand here as a fool, but believe me, I ain't a fool. I'm telling you the truth. You quote all you want until you say it's this way or you're out. I'm going to tell you, it's this way or you don't even know anything about him who you said called you. Because Brother Branham said simplicity. And he said, when you think you've got it, that's the time you haven't got it. He said, wait for the revelation to manifest itself. That's the interpretation. Let me tell you, Fred, I wouldn't care. Brother Branham came back on a set of pink elephants, and I'm not being funny now. And God put a tent here to cover the whole area of Prince Albert. I'll scream hallelujah to God. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know this. He's going to do what he wants to do. And I better just sit back and say, Lord, you go ahead. In the meantime, help me to just even obey the law of the land. Oh, I'd like that. I'd like that. Yeah. Now, verse 6. For this cause, pay your taxes. I got to support those guys. God said so. But they drive big Cadillacs. Well, they're not so big anymore. Getting income, yeah. Oh, Saskatchewan, you're not as well off as Alberta. I got to preach that one over there. I'm going to get even with them because they got the oil and the gas and the better prices. I'm going to laugh at them too because they have to depend on the big three, you know, of Detroit. So they may have the gas and oil, but they ain't going to have big cars unless they do somebody use a shoehorn or a stretcher or something. Yeah, they live so good. Pay your taxes. And I got to support that. Yep. Happy, cheerful, because they're God's men. He'd say, sure doesn't look like. I'm talking about the world system that God's over. I'm not talking about the church. I'm not talking about some pastor saying, well, you know, I get all the tithes and I use them on myself because you see, they're my sheep and I've worked and they're my labor so I can live like a king. He would say, yeah, I preach it. He deserves the best. The best? What best are you talking about? Hell or heaven? Time or eternity? I got so many good things and I'm ashamed of it. I don't deserve them. Don't even need them. My day-to-day have treasures. Cups of cold water. My God, if a cup of cold water gets recognition, what will something really good do? Of course, you say, well, Brother Bale, the thing is back in the Orient, you know, there was hot climate and all they needed water. I know that, but that was a simple thing, the immunity. Let's get out and do some more. Now it says, pay your taxes. Support these authorities. Taxing is legal. They again are called God's ministers. He had to keep calling them God's ministers or we'd forget the first time we heard it. Paul's like that preacher. Now, he preached a sermon. He went to the church the first time, preached a sermon. And they said, my, that's a nice sermon, preacher. He said, wonderful. He came back next Sunday, preached it again. Well, they said, hey, that guy, he's a good preacher, but he's got, you know, his memory's kind of, you know, whatever it is. Anyway, he preached the second time, and they went out shaking their heads and came back next Sunday, preached the third time. And, you know, they thought, well, it is a little bit strange, but I guess maybe there's something to everything, so we'll just wait a bit and preach the fourth time. So they said, look, preacher, you've been preaching that the fourth time. What's going on? Well, he said, you haven't been listening. When you start obeying it, I'll quit preaching it. Now, that's just a joke, but I'm going to tell you a true story. I wish I could quote the scripture, but I got a lousy memory. Anyway, this happened in Africa. This kid would come to the missionaries, a Christian man, a little boy full of the Holy Ghost, and he'd come and learn a new verse of scripture every day. And about every day. And then one day, the kid didn't show up. And he didn't show up. And he didn't show up. And the missionary got to praying. He said, my God, this boy's backslidden. The line must have gone. Well, dear Lord, help us. Help us. Help that poor boy. Something's wrong somewhere. And one day the boy came in, big fat smile on his face, all alone. He said, where you been? What happened, my son? Where you been? Oh, he said, I've just been out here serving the Lord. Well, why'd you stay away? Oh, he's every day used to come and learn a memory verse. And you stayed away for months. Oh, well, he said, you see, teacher, it's this way. When you teach me a verse, I don't only learn it, I do it. And he said, that last verse was not something you just learn and do. He said, boy, I had a hard time doing that one. And that's the one about keeping your mouth and all, you know, so you don't make your flesh to sin. So it tells you here, pay your taxes. These are ministers of God. These are ministers of God. These are not ministers of God. They are ministers of God. Now, if we and I believe it, we'll respect them. And I'm just about as disrespectful as they come. I have always been a rotten egg that way. So, listen. As we tithe to the ministry and give offerings for welfare and we put money in buildings, so our taxes will do the same thing out there. And we hate it. Now, let's learn to love them. I hope by next April, if the Lord carries, I will... Well, I'll be paying them before then. I just gave the government $300 because they pay quarterly. I know I don't owe that. But I like a nice little bunch left over so that when I pay my Social Security, hopefully I won't pay anything on very much. So, I kind of keep the pain away. And I certainly take a bigger dose of pain just now than a great big dose later on. But I hope if the Lord carries by next April, if I owe a chunk of money, and it'd be nice if I did, because that means I'm getting plenty. I hope I can grin and say, hallelujah. I hope they enjoy it and somebody gets them good. And I can pray over my check and say, God, if nobody else's check does any good, make this check do some good. I'm going to tell you something flat and I'm not boasting. Now, there's a little secret. Brother Branham was so loved by everybody that everybody wanted to give him something. And so they did. They would chuck money in his pocket, they'd chuck it here, chuck it there, and he'd chuck it right in the fund. So one day I got to crying. And I said, Lord, even if I gave him money, it wouldn't do any good. I want to give God's prophet something from me. What am I going to do, Lord, so he can get something from me? I'd like to put some clothes on the back of his kids and himself, maybe. Or some food on the table. I want to do something for him that, that'll be done and nobody can take it from me. I'm not boasting. I shouldn't even be telling you. But this is out of my heart to let you know you can have a right attitude. And God spoke back and said, listen, Meadie does all the dealing at Penny's. Why don't you just give him a certificate from Penny's and she will buy clothes for the prophet's children? And I said, hallelujah. And I didn't chuck any money in his pocket, but I put the clothes on the prophet's kid's back or maybe some shoes or something. I'm not proud of it. I'm just telling you that's the attitude. So when I drop my check in the mail next time, by the grace of God, I'm going to lay hands on the check and say, Lord God, I know what's going on. And I hate what's going on. But somebody needs help and they're committed to give help. Somebody get help from what I give. I don't care about anybody else's money going down the sewer. But I'm a real Christian. I'm laying my hands on this check. That your ministers out there are going to give it in the right way. Follow me? Verse 7. Render therefore all to all their dues. Oh boy. Tribute to whom tribute? Custom to custom. When you come across the line, don't smuggle. You can snuggle if you got your wife, but you don't smuggle. If you got contraband, I don't know if I'm going to preach anymore. I'm getting under conviction. I just think about coming home from Europe. It's easy to tuck a thing here and to tuck a thing there. I think some brethren around here found out you shouldn't do it anyway. Cost a whole lot more. Yeah, but that dirty, rotten government. Why do I have to pay wages back in Ontario? Pay those guys back there. I'm Western Canadian. So you are. You're stuck. Can't smuggle it. Now, we're luckier than you, because I can go back to the States any old time with a couple hundred bucks. Because they don't give a rip. But here, they're a little better now than used to be. You can come back a little more often. But you got it rougher here. I admit it. Seems very unjust. But you're doing it to God. Pay the customs. Well, take a good attitude and say, Lord, you said so. Bless this money, Lord. And whether they want it or not, they can do some good. You always have the last laugh if you do the right thing. Yes, sir, God laughs from heaven. Yes, sir, you try to pull something on God, he just stand back and laugh at you. I want to stand back and chuckle. So let's pay our customs. Brother Vail, pay your tax. I will. I feel better already. I feel even good about paying what's already gone in. Most of the time I overpay. I tell you flat. See, I know the law. And what I get as gifts is not taxable. I never came here for $1. Whatever you give me is tax-free. I pay anyway. I use a short form. 1 year, $1,000 went through my hand to him, took one thing for it. See, the devil used to bother me. Say, well, now you beat the government here, beat the government. So one night I got out of bed about 2 a.m. I said, devil, I'm going to prove you're alive in the pit of hell, or either I am. I was mad. Upset. I took out everything, laid it out there, and I proved the devil. I gave hundreds of dollars more than they needed to. I said, drop dead, you lying scum. I had a lady friend of mine, she's a tax accountant. I'm going to tell you flat. She said, Brother Vail, you bring your books to me, you won't pay 1 cent. I can do it. Sister Legg's brilliant woman. The law has just said even tithes are not taxable if I don't ask for them. I'm smart enough never to go to any church and say anything about money. You want to give it, give it. If you don't want it, don't give it. Send it to me as a gift, fine, all the better. That's all the easier. Anything in the envelope, that sure is different. I'm legal. I'm 100% legal. I'm not kidding. I'm not lying. I'm not making loopholes. I'm legal. There's no man living, far as I know, can put a finger on me as far as the actual taxation principle I live under, because I give thousands of dollars that I don't even tell the government I give, and I'm allowed 30% anyway, and I can prove I give it. Because 20% comes right off the top. Not 1 cent taken out for expenses. See? Now, I'm telling you about this for this reason. You will fight with your conscience. And you will drive yourself down if you cannot honestly meet the laws of the land. Now, I know us preachers have ways of having the so-called, not loopholes, but the deductions that you might not have. I wish you had it. But I'll tell you one thing. As the law says, take advantage of every opportunity that's legal, but don't try to be illegal. My books are open anytime. I take actual mileage the whole bit. There's many ways I could cut my income tax down, and I mean really cut it down, but I'm lazy for one thing. It's just easy to take clean across the board by mileage when anybody knows you can't take 15 cents a mile on your car with depreciation. It runs about 36 cents according to the law, except if you're according to AAA. So every time I take 15 cents, I lose 21. I'm lazy, stupid. Now, Lord, forgive me for that. I got to change that around now, too, because the Bible said don't be slothful. You follow me? We're not fooling anymore, brother and sister. The prophet said the little things are ruining us. The prophet said, render to Caesar. Listen, this is God's priority over you and me concerning the land in which we live, the civil law. You don't have a choice to say yes or no. You have a choice. It's yes. Now, pay all debts. Pay all dues levied on you. All taxes. All customs. See? Fear and respect the authority of these men. And let us note that the Holy Spirit must have been concerned about the tendency we have toward evading the laws of the land, because six times, which is the number of men, he tells us the authority and men using authority in the state are of God. Now, do you believe that? Nobody believes it? You don't have to. You'll answer to God, not me. Or maybe I taught you so well you don't have to say amen that you didn't say it. I hope it's that way. But you do what you want. Say, Brother Dave, you ruin our camp meeting. I ruin a camp meeting that fills your body full of light? It helps you to get the doctrine? Oh, come on. Look, kid, I got my troubles, but maybe you got more than I got. I hope not. Daniel 4, I'm getting to feeling real good about paying some taxes. I mean, getting conscious stricken about doing more. I don't know about you. I'm telling you the truth. Well, I was going to read something here in Daniel, but just can't seem to put my finger on. Anyway, now, so even here, listen, so even here, God is sovereignly ruling in the affairs of men. That's the precept. God, you're the boss. You're the totalitarian, despotic, theocratic person. I don't have a thing to ask or to say. I just do it. Bond slave. Yep. I've had my ear to his wall, and he punched a hole in it. All I can hear is his word now. Dedicated. No wonder Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, oh, man alive. He said, I've been crucified, but I'm living. Man, that's an awful state to be in. Crucified, you should be dead. But you're somehow alive. Man, I got conflict. I got problems. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And he said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, oh, I see, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Oh, brother, it better be that. Because I can tell you flat, I couldn't do it without that. Better go back on him. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he's never stopped giving himself to help me. As Dr. Grubb said, it is a replacement. You know something? Brother Branham wasn't the source of all wisdom. God was. And the prophet quoted the Bible. He said, I can't forgive people. It's Christ in me forgives people. Paul said, in the person of Christ forgave I them. How in the world can you and I reconcile ourselves to this world and its laws as being of God and living right up to the very best we can without recognizing the principle in the person of Christ? And that stops the whole thing from tearing you up. Romans the 9th chapter. I know you're getting tired, so I'll just quit in a minute now and we'll finish this tomorrow. I just soon preach the same sermon and series. I'm tired too. And that suite up here, you gotta be kidding. And you're sitting on those hard seats. You know, I don't know how you do it. I tell you, you guys are amazing to sit and listen to this old windbag up here as long as you do. Because if I was down there where you are, I'd be squirming, 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 squirming. I cannot sit. So, you love me, I know that. Lord loves you. I won't light a candle for you. I'll pray for you. I won't send a request to the priest. I'll do it myself. Listen. So I'm going to try to get out of here quick as I can. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. He's talking about Moses and Pharaoh, Egypt and Israel, bride in the world. Ho, man, that I might show my power in thee. I can do it and control you. Pick me up. Smash it out. That my name might be declared to all the earth. Do you realize that God said he puts a basis of men over people? And a Christian comes right along in the strength and power and character of Jesus Christ and makes a monkey out of the guy. Oh, my. How'd you like old John Fox, the great old Puritan? He believed in the old day you didn't lift your hat to nobody. He thought you took your hat off to God. Now look, I knew he had some screwy ideas, according to what really is true today. I should take that back, some funny ideas, or be prone to a little bit off. But listen, I like that old fella. He said, I'll obey you insofar as you don't make me disobey God. I'll go all the way. But the minute there comes a challenge, forget it. God raised up Pharaoh to see what Israel do. Moses went right down the line with Israel. And God destroyed Pharaoh. And the name of God went through the whole earth. And they say, that's the people that breathed that God that took care of Pharaoh. He said, you don't mean to tell me. What happens when great men of God pay a price? Huh? The world stands back. Don't understand it. Don't understand it. God's name goes through the whole earth. 22-23, what if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, Pharaoh, whom God raised up and put there, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he foreknew and put there, which he had prepared unto glory. What about it? See? God's in it. God's in all government, all authority, all power. And we're obligated to listen to the government insofar as it does not contravene the word of God and put us against the Christ-like conscience we have in Christ. And we're to obey it with such simplicity and such faith that if we break the law, our conscience smites us right now. And we can't sleep. Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Just these verses here will wind right down. 21-25. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king. Fear God nuts to the king. Somebody says fear the king nuts to God. Doesn't say that. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king. And meddle not with them that are given to change. They want to change things. They don't want God's way or the government's way. Huh. Hey, that's interesting. Why? For their calamity shall rise suddenly. And who knoweth the ruin of the most? These things also belong to the wise. It is good to have respect to persons in judgment. Oh, Brother Vale, listen and take your hat off, kid. 64 years old and haven't learned very much. He that saith to the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon him. That's the law. 1 Peter 2. Let's just find that the Word of God is full of the Word of God all the way through in this subject. Because if I can find something that gets me off the hook, I just know God just changed his mind. I'll say, hallelujah, nice. Then, of course, if God changed his mind there, it's not so hallelujah nice because he might have decided I'm not elected. That ain't so nice. I gotta watch this very careful now. See, you gotta watch very careful now. See, if I get, he gets me off the hook so I can thumb my nose at the government, I like that. But if he changes, then he may take his hook out of my mouth and I can fall back. I don't think I want him to change. You get the point? Would you want a changing God? Oh, no, we better listen to what the Bible says. All right, 1 Peter 2, 9 to 17. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That word peculiar is a circle with a dot in it, meaning that you are so thoroughly surrounded, ain't nothing going to touch you but what is touching you, which is God. You're something different. Like it ain't that guy something. Oh, yes, this bride sure is. That you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness in his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, are now people of God. Which have not obtained mercy, but now obtained mercy, dearly beloved. I beseech your strangers and pilgrims abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your behavior honored amongst the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that you may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be the king of supreme, or the governors, as unto them sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Paul and Peter and everybody in the Bible agrees. Get in step with the authority of the land. If it ever contravenes God's word, that's the one time you don't listen. Now consider 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, 1 to 4. I hope the seats are getting softer. Of course they won't. So we just praise God for that too. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions, then giving of thanks, be made for all men of which? Who are they? For kings and for all that are in authority. I want to ask you a question. Preachers, you people called upon to pray. How many of you obey this? First. Let me see some hands. No hands? Neither mine. How many have actually even done it? Thank you. I've done it maybe once or twice. Huh? No church service without it. No prayer meeting. No house meeting. No devotion. God's priority. God says, you do this. Say, well, see, Brother Vail, I'm worried about my kids. Why? Well, you see, there's dope in the land. You didn't pray for your governors. If you had you wouldn't have had those hotheads in there that want this thing going on. You didn't pray. You didn't exhort. You didn't supplicate. And you didn't thank, and I didn't either. I'm not pointing my finger at you. In fact, I got my fingers down here in my belt, so you know, kind of protect my innards. I'm getting hurt right now. I'm done me praying. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you flat. I'm confessing. I'm supplicating. I haven't interceded. Sure good thing the Holy Ghost has done something about it. I sure hope so. Praying for men in authority. That we may lead quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. But if you don't pray for it and believe it, you don't get it. Now, Brother Branham said, I don't pray for America anymore. It does not mean that you don't obey this. He had to say that because people did not do this. Wouldn't it be something if you went to a political meeting, you say, hey, fella, I don't know, Whig or Tory, whatever you are, conservative, Democrat, national, new Democrat, or fooey, what, I don't know what you are anyway. Who cares? He said, hey, fella, I want to tell you something. Got no faith in your politics. Don't have much faith in you. But you give me one promise. You'll have faith in my prayers. I'm going to pray for you. Man, you scared living daylights out of him. Hold it. This is not the church. This is politics. You say, honey, I got news for you. It is church. Even though it's politics. Because God said, pray. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He said, hold it. You mean I do these for the kings and all these fellows that we can have a good and quiet, peaceful life and honest? And for this is good and acceptable. That's right, the sight of a God our Savior. Yeah, I believe that. Now, but hold it. Don't read the rest. I didn't say full of the Holy Ghost. I just said saved. We got a man in the States, he's called the President of the United States, President Carter. He says he's saved. I think he is. I believe he is. He did make a boo-boo. He said if he ever catches me in a while, I'll resign. They caught him in line. He didn't resign. He'd been full of the Holy Ghost. He would have, I guess. Now, listen, do you realize right here says some of these guys can get saved? Oh, man. Wouldn't that be nice to have some saved people in government? Nobody thought of praying. Now, we're talking about priorities, and what does God put as incumbent upon me in relation to civil law? I am telling us all here today. Will there be those of you who have family devotions now every morning begin to pray in this wise? Or will you leave this meeting and say, well, Brother Dale sure told us some things, but I don't necessarily have to believe it. Certainly you don't have to believe it. I'm not going to come with the club and make you believe anything or do anything. I don't even do it to myself. Well, who would like to do it? Somebody's got to do it. And if it isn't done, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. I have a concern, listen, that our failing in this area has brought the spirit of anarchy into the church, even amongst us now. Now, Lee Vale is no prophet. But I've got brethren sitting here who know that I've called the shots beautifully over the years, because I stand back and watch as the prophet taught. As I told you, those boys that said 1977 when ended were very foolish, because Brother Branham laid the law down. He said, I could not preach this to Sodom and Gomorrah on the one issue of marriage and divorce alone. All the signs must be there. 77 could not have ended it. Could not. There was no squeeze. You don't have to leave the unions. Where's the Catholic Church? It's still dissolving. Where's the Pope that comes out of America? Then how could he have come in 77? And if 78 doesn't show more signs, he will not be here in 78. Now, let me tell you something. I'm just Lee Dale talking. I'm no prophet. But if we have our senses exercised by godliness and know this message, I believe we can know things. I said that after the thunder message rose, I believed, and I do believe, that the indication is here that this business of leadership has run its course. The Nicolaitan amongst us is down. I believe by the grace of God that I'm hitting it right, that there'll be no more leaders rise up. That's why you know my nature screams against leadership. And I say without fear of anybody contradicting me, when Brother Branham died, I was the logical man to stand up and say, look at me. And I was the first logical man to sit down and say, don't look at me. And I don't intend that anybody make me an authority or a leader or nothing, because I ain't. I am your brother and a lousy brother at that. And if I could sneak in the back door, thank God. And if he says, go to the lake of fire, I'll say, Lord, your will be done, because you're the boss. But a leader I am not. So don't ever look at me as an authority. Now, you know I am not using reverse psychology. God is my judge. I hate the Nicolaitanism. You know why? Because as a young preacher, I saw it. Where I was in Pentecost in Alberta, and the big shot leader tried to force me to disobey God. He tried to force me to leave the place where God took me and gave me revival and blessed me, and the people wanted me. Because he wanted to put a buddy in there. And I said, I don't see it that way. He said, in the multitude there lacketh not wisdom. I looked around and I just saw his big fat head. I'm not going to take it back. I said it, I mean it. That's all it was. He spoke from his own mouth and heart. And I said, but brother, if God put me there, and I belong there. Well, he said, it'll cost you papers. And I said, you can have them. I'm going to tell you, I was bitter. I got so bitter, I backslid. And God was in it. And I hated the Nicolaitan. You pastors, you're on your own as far as I'm concerned. I love you because without you, I have no place to go. And if you think I am so stupid to come in and take over and cut my throat, you are crazier than a hoot owl that just got bitten by a rabid dog. You follow me? Authority, you can have it. I don't want it. You couldn't conscript me. I can run too fast. I've got too good health to fool with that junk. Now, what I'm leading up to is this. Nico is over, but not lady. The next thing you will look for, which will hit you here in Saskatchewan and hit the world and is hitting it now, is the people will get more and more restless and want to run things. Internal dissensions. Because it's got to be. There's only two spirits, honey. Nicolaitans. Laodicean. People's rights. That's the end time spirit. People's rights. Until even the Catholic Church must acquiesce. The Pope had to bend to a sub-authority within the Church. Soymen. And amongst us, I believe, I'm not a prophet. I say this from the top of my head by observation, as Brother Branham said, by the 5-7 major visions, 2-5 having been fulfilled, he believed 77 could well be, the day the other two would have been fulfilled. And I say, by what is going on, I fear greatly that we are going to have a spirit of anarchy rise up amongst us worse and worse and worse. The pew is going to start denying more and more of the authority that God gave. When I say this reverently because I don't want any part of it, brother, sister. I never asked God to call me. But you read chapter 4 of Ephesians. When he came back to give gifts to the church, they were men to lead a body to perfection. I have nothing to do with it. My message this morning, though dull, it could be insipid and boring to most of you. Because you might want a hip or on, a nice feeling. Let me tell you flat, my brother, sister, I have preached you thus saith the Lord. And right here, people refusing authority, it gets right into the church. And who rises up first? A real nice fellow that everybody respects. And he cuts the preacher's throat. And he wants to take care of the fruit. And pretty soon he's like certain brethren I could name which you wouldn't know, so it's all right, and I won't name them anyway. They're very spiritual. And they use all their time to run to counsel because, you see, the pastor, he just couldn't do the good job they do. You say, Brother Dale, that couldn't happen to me. Oh, couldn't it? When the Bible says it will, how faithful have you and I been to this word? Right here in the civil part alone. Because everything in heaven has a manifestation on earth, and it says, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we don't even believe that God's authority on earth is in the cosmos system amongst men that he has put here, base men even. But he says, pray, supplicate, intercede, and thank God of the possibility and the reality that it will come in. That you can live those lives you want, and even some are going to get saved, and it can get better. Now, it's not too late, brother, sister, because even if you don't change them, you will change yourself in doing it. Today, the world cheers the priests and the ministers who defy the government and break the laws and say it is lawful to do so because the laws are wrong. Then God has to be wrong. For he takes responsibility for the authority. So as much as we dislike restriction that seems frivolous, unnecessary, or those placed on us by greedy and deceitful men, we must obey as long as it does not force us against the will of God. The antidote is to pray for the officials, as Brother Branham said. And I'm going to quit right here. As Brother Branham said, look, when I get dry and barren in my soul and my spirit, I begin praying until the windows of heaven open and I get all lubricated and happy. Well, I want to ask you a question. Do you still believe the Bible? Now, this is simple. I preach nothing as simple as this in all my life, and I've been preaching a long time. I love to be a Philadelphia lawyer and preach big, long things, you know, and get you confused over here and get you confused over here and bring you all together and say, you wasn't very clever. Four-year-old kid could preach this. So I'm not clever. I want to ask you, how wise are we? How wise are we? Huh? Start praying, brother, sister, for governors. And it's a little bit too late almost. But it could just be that it will make the load lighter and a little bit easier and the burden lifted so we can escape. Because Brother Branham said this age will see a repeat of all diabolical cunning. The most perilous age of all time. I don't know what's ahead. But I know this. I am ashamed. And I must take the blame with you. That I have not seriously read my Bible and considered it all the Word of God. Now remember, Brother Branham said if you've got the Holy Ghost, you say amen to every word. Right? Not, well, say, Brother Dale, when you said he heals, amen. And I say he puts in governors. Amen. That you got to pray for first of all. Amen. Huh? You know, Abraham's prayers didn't seem to do much good. But I believe they did. I believe they meant an awful lot to Lot. Pretty late in the day when he prayed. It's pretty late today. But I'd say one thing this. It's time to start praying. It's time to give God his priority. That civil law is of God and must be obeyed until the state says, you forget God's law and hear mine. And we say, though you slay me, put me in prison, kick me out, exile me. Can't do it. But I'll obey you right to the letter as long as I know God's behind you. Follow me? The Lord bless you, shall rise. Kind Heavenly Father, I know, Lord, that it just shows again the profundity of the statement of the prophet's simplicity. The little things. My, it just, I almost feel like, Lord, you're not even here in the building. Because it's so disgraceful to stand here and know that we just turn these pages over so many times, say, well, so what? And it kind of strikes home deep now. Giving us cause to just pause when the prophet said, the Holy Spirit says, amen to every word in the Bible. And now it's beginning to get a little bit sharp, Lord. And I'm feeling a little edgy. Not with you, Lord, but with me. And not just to say amen, that's right, but to do something about it. Otherwise, we're getting into a little bit of a bad place here, because not him that's blessed that says amen doesn't do it. Not him that believes and then won't build. But it's the fellow that does it and builds. That's, and the wind's coming, everything begins to disrupt and go down. This edifice still stands. Lord, it's still true that this simple way is going to fill the body full of light, and all this talk about doctrine is going to go down the drain, and the real doctrine is going to be here with the real light. But it's just too simple. Yet God, this morning, I'm convinced if I will take and obey what I have read and the people have heard, and they with me, the body will begin to fill with light. And the will of God will be manifest and blessed amongst us. Lord, I apologize. I didn't believe it was that simple. Now I am confounded and tricked by my own imagination. But I will say, blessed be God who through the mouth of the prophet spoke it and said, God hides in simplicity. So simple. Missed it entirely. Father, I'm so glad I can begin to feel your presence now. Lord, I hope it means I've been forgiven and strengthened to begin to do these things, Lord, and pray for governors to become serious, God. Not just serious about me and mine, as though I was that kingdom. That's not, but thou art God. And I've screamed many times and cried that I'm jealous, Lord, for your honor. And I would just gladly go to the lake of fire if I knew I'd served you somehow. Here this simple thing lies here, and I've been a complete fool all along. Just as bad and worse than the organizations and nominations and the heretics I've excoriated. Pot calling the kettle black. You accusing somebody doing the same thing yourself. I'm standing here, Lord, judged by your word. Oh, God, I only hope it does something for me. Please, please, please. I don't want to throw the onus on you, Lord. I don't want to tell you to do things I'm supposed to do. But, Lord, I know that you can give me a head start by a properly addressed whack in the right places. Oh, God, send the bees in to make me willing to go. The harness, whatever is necessary. I know I'm praying like a coward and a lazy man, Lord, but I know myself just like you know me. I'm just afraid, Lord, of myself. I just got so afraid. But I know there's somebody here today, perhaps many who arise to occasion, especially even young kids who get down in their hearts the realization, piling word upon word, I'm going to start obeying the law. I'm going to start praying sincerely, even interceding. I'm going to know once and for all, if I've tried to do good things and my mom and pop have done good things, then God's going to do good things for me too. Yeah. Lord Jesus, bring us back to simplicity. Where the prophets stood, Lord. I don't want to just see it for this moment, Lord. I want to walk in it. I want to revel in it.
Yes, Lord.
I want it, isn't that right? Yes. So we just turn ourselves to you, gracious God, who are altogether lovely. Give thee the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing that song, Into My Heart. Into My Heart. Talking now of the obedience to the Word as He was obedient. Him made it into my heart, Lord Jesus.